Imagine if you were living in Europe and in the depths of winter, your gas for heating and cooking was cut off. That's the fear of many on the continent, with the threat of Russia shutting down the piped gas it supplies to Europe. The Morrison government says it stands ready to act as an alternative supplier of LNG to Europe if tapped by the Biden administration. Tony Wood is the Energy Program Director at the Grattan Institute. Welcome back to RM Breakfast.
Good morning, PK. Nice to talk to you in the morning for a change.
I know, right? Bright and early. Now, to be clear, the gas is still flowing, but Europe seems to be preparing for the event that Russia either reduces or cuts off supply. What are Europe's options here?
Well, Russia reduced the supply by about half some while ago now, at the beginning of winter, and it was made worse because in winter is when the demand increases, obviously, for northern temperature heating, and also because they actually had some low wind output from their renewables. So the alternative is to get gas from somewhere else. Unfortunately, there's been some real tension there. Some of the gas retailers even went broke in the process. It didn't mean people lost their gas, but it's certainly been very difficult. So what's happening now is that they're obviously looking for other suppliers. Australia, the United States and Qatar together supply about 50% of the world's LNG that is shipped natural gas, whereas what Russia provides obviously is via pipeline. But there is some flexibility there. So what's happening now is that they're looking to see if they can get supplies from elsewhere. The US is trying to coordinate some of that. And some Australian gas has already been used to help supplement the problem at the moment. But of course, it could get worse if the situation in the Ukraine gets worse.
Okay. So there's already some Australian gas. How much credibility do you give to these reports that Australia has been approached to supply gas to Europe? Obviously, that would be a radical increase.
I'm sure the conversations have been had. Now, of course, it doesn't mean that Australia actually supplies its gas to Europe. Australia's a long way from Europe. It could mean that gas that otherwise might go to Asia is diverted to Europe, and then Australian gas replaces that gas in Asia. There's some flexibility there, both in terms of the global supply and also some flexibility in what Australian gas suppliers can do, because in most cases, they don't have a lot of capacity just to ramp up quickly to very big volumes, because most of their gas is also covered by long-term contracts.
Can Russia even cut supply, given most of the gas market is dominated by longer-term contracts?
Well, I'm sure Russia can do whatever Russia wants to do in these sort of situations. Look, the situation is, of course, from an economic perspective, it would not necessarily be in Russia's best interest to cut gas, because they're a country that depends upon things like oil and gas for a huge amount of its import of its income. So it wouldn't do that just capriciously. But physically, they could do that. And of course, you know, the very fact that they've reduced the volumes already by as much as they have would probably be in some ways stretching at least the credibility of some of the contracts they've got. But, you know, in certain situations where a lot of this is all about, defence and a lot of posturing as well, who knows what could happen? So, yes, I'm sure they could do it if they chose to do so. It would seem still fairly unlikely that they would cut off the gas completely, but you never know.
No, you don't. We are very much in uncertain times, right? So if Europe needs to find an alternative supply, do Australian gas producers have that capacity to sell more gas than what they already sell through forward contracts?
Yes, to some extent, PK. It depends upon exactly where their contracts are at. I mean, there's some stories that a couple of producers' contracts into Asia have reduced anyway, and they could do that. It could be that all of them, even though they've got long-term contracts, would retain some flexibility to take advantage of opportunities that arise. Because remember, not only is there a volume and a serious supply issue here, but from a price perspective, it could be very financially attractive to these companies, because the gas price in Europe has gone up more than five times. So that would be a big deal. And some of those couple of gas the shipping contracts that have already been moved to Europe or to cover the Europeans' context have certainly got much higher prices. Now, there are constraints. Physically, there's constraints because they can't ramp up to this sort of situation. And commercially, there'd have to be a lot of negotiations to make sure they still meet their contracts, both for export and domestic. So Australian gas supply ourselves is not going to be affected by this, at least in the short term, and probably not at all.
Could this be very difficult for European consumers or energy retailers to afford? You mentioned the prices there.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And, you know, for many people, maybe the southern part of Australia in winter, gas becomes more important for heating. But in Europe, it's a very big deal. So we've already seen some of the smaller gas retailers, more than a dozen smaller gas retailers went broke. Now, what happens then is, as it would in Australia, big retailers automatically step in and they cover that. In addition to that, the government has been trying to do things to constrain the prices in the European context, the UK particularly, but also companies like Germany, who depend upon Russia for a whole range of energy, not just for households, but for industry as well. They get, you know, best part, more than a third of their energy comes from Russia. So this is a very significant challenge, and there's limits to how much one can do. And as governments step in and, you know, basically subsidise gas, which they could do for a while, just to make sure that Europeans, you know, people particularly in financial difficulty, are not really, you know, made put in very difficult personal circumstances or having to, you know, go without gas. So we're not at that point yet, but industry certainly is affected. And as I said, commercially, there's been some significant challenges for some of the gas companies.
Would the opportunity to export to the EU and make a lot of money for gas producers here in Australia have any implications for the security of our own gas supply?
Well, no. We're not yet talking about, you know, diverting gas that otherwise would be coming to Australians. We're talking about adding to that with some flexibility. Now, you know, at some point there'll be conversations, I'm sure, to say, well, look, can you maybe take a bit of a step back in terms of the gas you're providing to Asia and provide some of that gas into Europe, because, you know, the circumstances could get quite dire if the worst, you know, if the worst possibilities were to emerge. From the Australian perspective, domestic gas is a relatively small percentage of the total amount of gas we produce, and all of that is covered by contracts anyway. So I don't see any real risk to Australia's supply. In the long term, and this is unlikely, it could, some of this the price impacts could flow through. But I think, again, at the moment, this would seem to be more like a short-term issue, even though it's pretty nasty. So it's very unlikely that would see impact on supply or price in Australia. But, you know, Australian companies will be looked to see if they can be a bit more flexible in the way they can ramp up some gas to contribute to trying to solve this problem, because it is very difficult. There's not too many countries that could do this.
Is the renewable sector in Europe mature enough yet to supply most of the market?
Oh, look, that's the challenge. We'll see people who say, oh, this just shows we shouldn't be depending upon renewables. Now, what could happen perversely is this could also mean that people say, well, this just means we don't want to depend on gas because it can run into these sorts of problems. So you can imagine the situation that a lot of things are going to maybe change here. And so, for example, one specific thing could be that the Europeans decide, well, we shouldn't depend upon one single source such as Russia for so much of our gas. We need to diversify that. And maybe they would enter into some longer-term contracts for Australia. In the medium to longer term, we could ramp up our gas production if we invested the money in some of our infrastructure facilities. But that would be a much bigger challenge. So I think that, and that would take a lot longer to solve this problem. So I think the renewables issue is part of the solution, but also in the short term, there are challenges. The Europeans found out when you don't get wind consistently across Europe, when you just really need some gas and gas is in short supply. We will have that eventually in Australia, where wind and solar will be by far the dominant sources of energy and the role of gas and coal will have slipped away. And we need to be thinking about that future. But I've got no doubt that with the planning we're putting in place and the time we've got, we'll not have any problems of meeting that. It just puts shines a very sharp light on making sure that we've got our plans in place to address those sort of issues if and when they emerge.
Tony Wood, thank you for your time this morning.
Thanks, PK.
Energy Program Director at the Grattan Institute, Tony Wood there.